So today, I want us to take another deep dive into the life of prayer. I rounded it up on Wednesday, but God unrounded it again. Yeah. Let me just spell why it was unrounded. Because I perceive strongly again that the spirit of supplication is in the house and is teaching us how to pray. And even at times, when he's teaching us how to pray, he brings out the issues that have stayed in our hearts long before that time and then gives us the opportunity to address them. You know, at times when God is talking to you, he gives you the privilege to sort out an issue. Like that's not why he started speaking with you. But while he was speaking with you, he brings your attention to a matter. You know, there was an incident that Kenneth Hagin, we read in one of Kenneth Hagin's books. You know, he was having an encounter with the Lord, and a demon was displaying in front of him. And Jesus was still having the conversation with him. But he was troubled that, I mean, if Jesus is Jesus, he should chase. Or even this thing should be afraid that, is this not? Don't you know I'm talking with the King of Kings and the Lord of... But the thing was there. And while they were having the conversation, he now took up the initiative to rebuke the demon. And he asked, why didn't... And Jesus said, I was waiting for you to address the issue. So at times when God is speaking to us, we have the opportunity to address issues. At times, long-standing issues. You just say, this thing, boom, God, get it out. And then you go back to the conversation and then you have victory on both hands. Hallelujah. Let's open James chapter 5. Can you do me a favor, please? Can you reduce that time to 50 minutes? Let's take out 20 first. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Did somebody feel happy or angry? It's mixed feeling, don't worry. Just say mixed feeling. Mixed feeling. You don't know where to place it. It's okay. Don't confess this fault. It's just a mixed feeling. I'm both happy and not happy. Is anyone among you sick? You know, this is the scripture we've been reading through this series of Life of Prayer. We're teaching on living an effective life. And we think and believe that once our prayer lives are sorted, we'll be effective all around in terms of what God intends to achieve in our lives. And we said being effective is that we can do everything God wants us to do. Nothing left behind. I also want to say on the last day, you know, whether it's, my last breath on earth, I have finished my course. You know, I've finished my course. I've done all. Is that not a good place to be? A lot of people on their sick bed have that regret that they didn't finish all. Now, that's where they will not be doing emergency. They didn't forgive everybody they should forgive. Let me call this other person. Let me tell, a lot of things were undone. You know, I want to live a life that is so ordered by God that I don't have a pile-up in the last 3 minutes. And I'm wishing I had another 30 years to quickly do a lot of things. I want to be done. Like, it should be as though I came to the earth with nothing and I'm returning with nothing. Because everything has been juiced out. The impact has been made and all the glory has been given to God. Is that not a good thing to have? I don't know if some of you want to have that same experience. But really, I think that's what the scripture says of the apostles. And that was their testimony. So in order for us to live an effective life, we are saying that our life of prayer has to be on check. If you've never listened to any of the series, you may not have some context. But I also don't intend to do recap. You know, that's why I also have put myself to reduce my time so much that I don't have the luxury to say what has been said. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I also need us to be responsive. So please ensure we are all here. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15. And the prayer of the faith will save the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Then he says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, this is something we have to be practicing in a community like this. This is fellowship. You can say, brother, this, I need help. Strengthen me. I'm being attacked by this weakness. You know, don't always make it first. It should be discernment that makes this possible. We don't need... It's just like saying you want to leave your marriage with discernment. Like, what does my wife want to eat? Just ask, what do you want to eat? May I feel like it's better than you're discerning. Now, it says, confess your trespasses to... Don't wait until it is... The God had to send a special halogen. Then they now say, you are the Achan in our midst. Oh, Achan, come out. You know, it was one particular service. A long time ago, they were to break bread, and somehow the prophet came out that there's somebody in that place. He's doing fornication, and he cannot partake. Now, that's okay. But they now say the person should stand up and leave the hall. I'm serious. You know, imagine being in that place. I'm sure there were about 30% people that the devil said, hey, you are the one, stand up. You are the one, stand up. Even people that they've not even thought about a woman before. He said, but you look lost. Some people will be interpreting it. Is it the one I looked and I did not do in my heart? Because the prophecy did not explain. And lo and behold, someone stood up and left. Yeah, some places, like, they will have to employ discernment. They will have to employ. That was what they did to Achan as well. They had to pick the man that has mingled the unclean thing with the clean thing. So that happens, though. You might be thinking that does not happen in church. You know? At least I've told you the one that the person that was doing false prophecy, they stoned him in the service. Yeah, me, I've seen that one too. They said you should keep quiet. And we're on the gravel. Just imagine us praying outside there. And you're a prayer team. And you say, don't say that. And I just said, just pick stone. Yeah, that was what happened. We call Leloko. Keep, what do have to keep quiet, see? But this is where he wants us to be. Not actually those ones. These ones. You can say, I have a word, but I'm not sure. What you can submit it for, like, to be tested. But when you say, does it, the Lord, does it? And someone just carries stone. Ah, that's not does it, the Lord. I don't even know who was right or wrong in that case. Because the person that also carries stone, you want to kiss someone. My wife was there that day too. But it's not me that was prophesying. So that's why I'm saying it this way. It says that you may be healed. So healing will be in our midst. When we confess our trespasses or our faults to one another and pray, don't confess and not pray. You get it? There's no balance. You have to pray for one another so that it doesn't stop with gossip. Yeah, it doesn't stop. When you say confess your trespass to one another, when you say, but do you know this is what Shola did? Oh my, you would think you are confessing the trespasses. Because that's an extreme. You say confess your trespasses. So you know that maybe Toby will meet and say, do you know this, the trespass Toby Jones? I've called you your wife's name, Toby Jones. Shegun Jones, do you know this, what the trespass, you know, he says trespasses. This is a trespass Shegun committed. Oh my goodness, God will help all of us, Sha. I hope he's healed. No. He says, the thing is, when you pray for one another, you don't have the ability to gossip about it again. Yeah. So once you pray for one another, then healing will come. It's not gossip that will come. So anywhere you see gossip thriving, they are talking, but they are not praying. Yeah. Yeah. That's a rule I have applied in my life. My friends know this. You don't come and tell me something we've not prayed about. I know when we pray about it, we can't gossip about it. So it's like a, I don't know what you call that. When you do something, you'll not be able to do this one. Yeah. You said? Ah, in Bayalio. Is that mutually exclusive? Now you have confused the church. Is that a good place to, you know, you are going home now in the service. They recorded that Daniel Fidelis confused the church. That's how you see in that letter, you know. Yeah. Talk to that brother that confuses me. Just kidding. But friends, when we don't sow in the place of prayer, expect not to reap anything. Expect never to reap anything. Bible says, I think it's Isaiah, that they sowed to the wind and they reaped whirlwind. So, if you see a brother that is laboring in the place of prayer and you're not laboring in the place of prayer, he will have a better life than you have. And I'm not saying success. I'm saying he would have a life that has the impact of God. A life that is sponsored by God. A life that men cannot gainsay. So you might think the person that is putting all his energy in prayer now is wasting his time. No. Bible says if you sow to the flesh, you will reap corruption. But when you sow to the spirit, you will reap life. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yeah. So a lot of the activity of prayers that we do, whether the ones you do privately or the ones that we do corporately, they are all seeds. And let me even say to us, we would all reap what we sow. Yes. If you want a change in the life of your children, pray. You will reap it. Yes. You are like this because some people prayed. They sowed the seed of prayer. And then God gave you the responsibility to pick it up from there. Hallelujah. We must pray about everything. Pray about everything. God would even say, let my house be the house of what? Prayer. And it's not necessarily that you should say you are a prayer ministry. It's just expected that if you are a ministry, you should be praying. If you are a church, you should be praying. If you are a gathering of brothers and sisters, you should be praying. If you are even married, you should be praying. If you are friends, you should be praying. Because you're creating a conducive environment for God to be able to intervene. That's actually what prayer is. Seeking the intervention of God over a thing or over a matter. When you pray about a thing, you've said, God, we are inviting you into this matter. Anything you're not praying about, you have a solution for it, is assumed. Yeah. You have a way out. Glory to God. So when we have the sick amongst us, we pray for them. When we have anyone going through a tough time, before we start running up and down to maybe meet the physical need, we pray about it. We pray about it. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now let's go to Matthew. You know, one of the scriptures I wanted to read in this series is Matthew chapter 6. Because I believe in the... is some important things that we can learn about the life of prayer. Matthew chapter 6 from verse 5. Can you put it in TPT? The Passion Translation. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
It says, whenever you pray, be sincere and not like the pretenders who love the attention they receive while praying. You know, we've addressed some of these things, particularly in the place where we said the one of the pillars of prayer is sincerity. Be sincere. You know, a sign of sincerity is also simple prayers. You know, when you are not coming with multitude of confused words. It's simple prayers. God, help me. You know, like God, you know, the help from the ages to pass. Ask, no, no. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. Like today that we prayed for understanding. You will just see what will happen in your Bible study life. In your Bible reading life. You will see that it has changed, actually. You've asked for understanding. You know, as Pastor Anu was preaching, I mean, she preached powerfully. Yeah. Because what she preached is like our torchlight for every preaching. So they said, profiting with the word of God. So you are hearing that word again. You need to profit with it, right? And I like the beautiful perspective, which is seeing the solution to every heart. So you can see that when you preach and you leave the heart that way, you've not done justice. You've not brought deliverance. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. God bless you. Thank you. So he says these folks, when they pray, they are insincere prayers. They have their reward. And I think we said one thing is, one way not to have an answered prayer is when you're not sincere. When you're not sincere, God will give you the responsibility to answer that prayer. He says, believe me, they already have received their full reward. Because the reason we pray also is to get answered prayers. Is to get a reward on the petition. Because prayer is also you making known your petitions. It also means supplication. When you make requests. Verse 6. But whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with the Father God. Now, this is not a sermon to make you go out of the church. Did you get? Why are we praying congregational prayer? Is that whenever we want to pray, you will contradict all the scriptures if you try that one. So this is talking about you when you are alone. Go into your innermost chamber and be alone with the Father God, praying to him in secret. And your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. So it is more rewarding that God knows you pray 12 hours than you telling me. So that's what he's saying. It's more rewarding. You yourself, you know what that does to my mental state. You yourself, you know. Because you were also oppressed when they told you that I prayed 15 hours. You know what it did to your mind. You know what it did to your mind. So he says it's more gracious. Now you can tell people that, guy, pray more. Because people that are on this path, they pray more. You can even say, don't do anything less than 1 hour. Do you get? But don't do anything to get the attention. Do you get? Because it's God that sees in the secret that rewards in the open. So, because that reward is the answer to the prayer. Don't forget. It says the one that say, let me do it on the outside. Let me do it on the outside. Now, if you want to balance it, I would say, pray more fervently internally than externally. You are fine. But if you pray more externally and less internally, there could be trouble. Now, I know, when we are under the corporate grace, we pray more. Yeah, we do. But don't leave that place still hoping that you'll be praying less when you are alone. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So any energy you receive here, convert it to a personal energy immediately. Try to look for how to domesticate it, to make it yours. Because the more you are stronger externally and weak internally is a platform for the devil to know the right place to get you, is when you are alone. So it says, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with the Father, praying to him in secret. Verse 7. When you pray, there is no need to repeat empty phrases. Now, what they say you should not repeat is not your prayer point. They said empty phrases. That's what we call vain repetition. Meaning the repetition is vain. So for example, I can say, like, we can keep praying the prayers of Ephesians all the days of our lives. It's not vain repetition. It's repetition, but it's not vain. Did you understand?
Yes.
You know, some people say, ah, but you've prayed this thing now. Yeah, the issue is still on ground. You know, there was an incident. Because we have to know the difference between persistence in prayer and the prayer of faith. Yeah. Where we've prayed and we move. Yes, but the guy we want to save is still smoking. We will keep praying for him.
Yes, sir.
We will not say we have prayed the prayer of faith. Brothers, let's move on. Devil will catch him. So there's a place of persistent prayer. Actually, persistent prayer is until that issue goes. You must learn that as a child of God, to be persistent. You know that phrase, push, push, push. Pray until something happens. Yeah, it's true. You must learn that. If you go and hold prayer of faith, I've prayed about it. If the issue is still there, that's why he besought God 3 times. Until God says, don't worry, my grace is sufficient for you. Go the issue more. But as long as it's an issue, pray about it. Stay in the place of prayer. For example, if someone is sick amongst, until God says, I've healed the person, don't worry. That's when we stop.
Yeah.
But we know, you say, ah, you know, be healed. And the person is not healed. It might only just be time that we'll say we'll continue later. But we will not say we'll continue later to escape that the healing has not happened. And then we are stuck with the concept of the prayer of faith, where we wanted instantaneous healing, or maybe the healing that was going to happen immediately. So there has to be a balance. So we avoid vain phrases. We're not going into what's a vain phrase, but I wanted to highlight that the repetition should not be on empty phrases. Any prayer that brings you edification is not empty. Did you understand? Anytime I pray the efficient prayer, I know I'm better than I was. Now you can see where he connected the vain phrase to. He says, you praying like those who don't know God. So this is praying without understanding. This is also praying outside of the will of God. You don't know the will of God, so you are praying. So God has no concern or business with a vain, repetitive prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's just read on. There is no need to imitate them, since your Father already knows what you need before you ask him. Then he says, pray like this. Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms. You know, let's, for the sake of the people that will judge us after this, let's read it in NKJV. Is what? Who's dwelling? Is who at? No, KJV. Ah. Don't soil our ministry. Is our Father who art in heaven. Hallo. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, we said on the first series that we pray to the Father in the name of Jesus. We pray to the Father. Even Jesus said, you pray to your Father in the secret. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and power and the glory forever.
Amen.
Amen. Verse 14. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Verse 15. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So this was the body of conversation that Jesus taught his disciples how to pray. But you know that he started this by trying to help them that your prayer first starts from the posture of your heart. You know, like we learned this morning, the place we live from the heart. We live from the heart. And so when a man is experiencing unanswered prayer, it's because the man has chosen to ignore the issues of the heart that are not making the prayers to be heard. Now, that's it. Heard. And then, obviously, answered. Because there are some prayers we would pray. They will not be heard because of the state of the heart. You know, Psalm 66, verse 8, it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So you can see that he's an insincere man that will go to God with iniquity in his heart and then raise a prayer point. So you can see times when some prayers were not heard and they were not answered. It's because when iniquity is in the heart, and then you are not responding to you repenting, God would not hear that prayer. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Isaiah 59:1. Can we look at Isaiah 59:1, NKJV? Are you there? Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy, that it cannot what? Hear. But what? Your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he will not hear. So you can see that don't joke with your heart, particularly when there is an issue. Address that issue first. Address that issue first, so that your prayers can be heard. Now, you may ask, you know, how do I grow in sincerity? Growing in sincerity is when you have control and victory over the deceitfulness of the heart. Now, you know, these are our hearts. A perfect animal to describe it is chameleon. When you're at church, there's a way it can. It can behave. When you're in the bus stop, there's another heart. The Lagos heart. Maybe that's one heart to study. The Lagos heart. The Adubo heart. You know, that's one way to describe the heart. At times, you can imagine how much you can morph into different situations. Because that heart is wiser than your brain. Some of you think your heart is your brain. Your heart is not your brain. No. Your heart is not your brain. Your brain is the place of intellect. There might not be a book in your brain, but your heart can be smarter than the smartest person that has brain. Particularly in the place of forging iniquity. Because when you say devil is giving me idea, it's not your brain is giving idea. It's your heart is giving ideas. So we grow in sincerity when we control, like I said, control and have victory over the deceitfulness of the heart. Because at times you are going into the presence of God to go make a petition and your heart is telling you you are good. That was why David said, search me in the deepest part of my heart. You know, some things we can hide. They are not on the surface of the heart. They are in the deepest. They are in the deepest what? In the deepest place of the heart. He says, search me, O God. Because he knows that some things might not be on the surface. They already have weight. They are at the bottom of the ocean. You know, at times, some hot, they are like that. They've taken some metals. They are at the bottom. It's just one innocent brother that will be the... or one innocent sister. Some insecurities are in that heart. Your insecurity that he might not even hear you. And so you should have plan B is in the heart. So at times you need to ask yourself, where is my heart over this issue? At times you are saying, God, I want to serve you all my life, but your heart knows I don't have plan. Mi raye gbogbo ka ma te lolon kiri. But Bible says, even when your heart condemns you, God is greater than that heart. Because these are our hearts. See, if God does not give us victory, we'll be saying yes, and our heart is saying no. We'll be saying yes, Lord. The heart is saying no, Lord. So we're growing in sincerity. Because at times you're asking, what can I do to my conscience? What can I do? No, it's when God gives you victory over the deceitfulness of the heart. The reason why the conscience is dead is because of the heart. So if we get the conscience to be back and the heart is still bad, the conscience will be seared again. So that's how we grow in sincerity. That's how we are restored in sincerity. When God gives us victory over the deceitfulness of the heart, you are saying, I am no longer deceived. See, they would always say, the best person that can deceive you is you. You know, when they say that, it's your heart they are referring to. You say, I will follow Jesus. You have to say, Bululo. Yeah. This is your heart can do. And it's not about how long you walk with God. This issue of the heart. We are on the journey.
Yes.
So for now, he might be giving you control. Where when your heart says this, you can, Lord, that's also where the flesh is strengthened. Because when it's not in your heart, your flesh is weak over that issue. So your flesh is strengthened with the things that are resident in the heart. When you say the lust of the eyes, the lust, all those things, they are seated in the heart. So when we hear the word of God, you remember, it's so that it can shine his light upon our heart. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So the human heart is deceitful. And that was what Jeremiah 17 said. It says the heart of man. It says the human heart is deceitful. KJV said, desperately what? Wicked. Can anyone know it? You know, this is your heart. It's deeper than you can imagine. You know, one of the things I know is, the reason why the heart is that deep is because it was designed for God.
Yes.
And that's why nothing can satisfy your heart if it's not God. Like the bigness and the depth of the heart was designed for the maker of heaven and earth. He's the one that can really sit and occupy it very well. If you put a boy there, let me just be cute. Maybe the person is just a cube of sugar. That's where the person is occupying. If you put a boy. And that's why you can put 20 boys. It won't be enough. It was actually originally designed for God. But we're not teaching about the heart today. The heart can condemn as well, like we read. 1 John 3, it says, when your heart condemns you, know that there's God that is greater than your heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, let's quickly look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, where we'll be looking at the different kinds of prayers, or prayers in their dynamics. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Therefore, I exhort you, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men. Can we look at this in TPT? I think TPT says all forms of prayer. Most of all, I'm writing to you to encourage you to pray with gratitude to God. Pray for all men with all what? Forms of prayers. And request as you intercede with intense passion. Please go back to NKJV. So Paul was telling Timothy that learn to pray every kind of prayer. You know, don't just be a believer that can pray one type of prayer. There are reasons to pray all kinds of prayers. So you don't say that you can only pray this type of prayer. The silent prayer. It's only the silent prayer I can pray. When Dami is praying, I don't know why Dami is praying like this beside me. The Dami knows himself. Actually, it's like all the Damis pray like that. Yeah, we have three Damis that I know. Dami one, Dami two, Dami. They pray loud. But I think the one that prays loudest is this our Dami. Dami prays. Ah, when Dami scream at time, guess what I do? Yeah. At time, his handsomeness and his prayer, and they are not the same. It's like they are far apart. But I think all the Damis actually, if you're a Dami and you're not praying like them, I don't know where they sent their own Dami from. But at least the three Dami I know, I think they pray fire. Now, they won't say they can only pray quiet prayer. And you can't see when I cannot say this in Yoruba. When it touches you where it's pinching you. How do they say it in English? When the something, I didn't hear what the person said, but please don't say it again. I don't want to even know what you said. So we need to know how to pray all kinds of prayers. And they are identified. Four things here. Now, I wouldn't first of all say that there are types of prayers, meaning in terms of this prayer is like this, this other prayer is like this, but there's something to learn there. So there's supplication, there's prayers, there's intercessions. Now, supplication is a type of prayer. Then there's prayers. Then there's intercession, which is also a type of prayer. And then there's what? Thanksgiving. Now, supplication means when we make a petition, when we ask, when we make a request. That's why it says, let your request be made known to God. There was also a place it said, supplication, prayers, and with thanksgiving. Can you look for that place? Philippians 4:6. Thank you. I know we read it this morning. Can we quickly just read and run away? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by what? By prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let what? Your request. So if you look at the word to supplicate, is to make a petition known or to make a request known. So when you have a request, you are supplicating on that request. Oh God, I need provision. That's a request. So that's a prayer of supplication. Now, but when we look at intercession is different from supplication. Intercession is actually what you are doing, what Jesus is doing, where you are making intercession on behalf of someone else. So, for example, if you have someone that needs to get saved, right? And then we are praying for that. We are interceding on his behalf. At times, God can wear you the garment of the trouble of that person. At times. Like you are feeling what the person is going through. So you are praying from the body. At times, the reason why we're not praying fervently for those going to hell is because we don't know, we are not feeling the void that they are experiencing. When you feel what someone that is not enjoying grace is enjoying, you will pray, meaning you would intercede. That's also why they said he's seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercessions for us. So when you stand in the gap for another person, you are interceding. Now, it's not every we are all not called to the intercessory ministry. You can pray for one another, but there are also some people that are called into what we call the intercessory. Now, I know you can say that there's nothing like inter, but there are people that God can appoint for special prayer projects. God can say these people will be praying for this city, so they will be interceding for that city. Now, your own prayer would also be heard, but they have a request from God. Just like the way God said, rise up and raise a lamentation to this king of Cyrus. You, if you say king of Cyrus, it would not be well with you. No. It's that one that they told to raise a lamentation. That's the one that has risen up to that request that God has made out. So there are some people like that are called. Some of you might be to just intercede on behalf of a family member, and you are there. Now, if you are an intercessor and you don't know how to persist in the place of prayer, just check out. Yeah, because he's there, they learn persistence. You'll be praying and you'll be seeing contrary to what you are praying. But yet, you will not be moved by what you see. And the prayers, here you can find all kinds of prayers. Prayers of faith, prayers of agreement. It says, when two of you agree, when you agree on a thing, it will be established. That's also a kind of prayer, prayer of agreement. When you see something that is going wrong, you can say, come, let's come together, let's pray. This is what husband and wife should always do.
Yes.
Landlord gives you what you didn't prepare for. Oh boy. No, I'm serious though. If you are a husband and your wife, you don't know how to do prayer of agreement. Trust God, though. It's not good because both of you will not accomplish great things. Yeah. Agreement is one chasing a town, two chasing ten. If we don't agree that we should chase 2,000 together, I might divide that hour.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We say, go and chase your 1,000. I'll chase my 1,000. Then that's 2,000. But it says two, we chase 10,000. So it's agreement. It says, can two work together except they be agreed? So there's also the prayer of agreement. There's a prayer of faith that we read in James 5, the one that saves the sick. And there are all kinds of other prayers. But like I said, there's supplication where we make our requests known to God. And supplication at times could even be an attitude. Where, because in every aspect of prayer, there is a request on our heart. Even when we are interceding for someone, there's a person that we put on our heart. And also, maybe I didn't write this down. Always learn to pray and ensure your heart is also active. You know, at times you can be praying so fervently, but your heart is far. At times, that's how you also learn how to stay long when you're praying alone. Because when you started praying, you are still thinking, Oshodi, Yaba, Eko, Idumota. So maybe like 30 minutes, you are helping yourself. The reason is don't pray like that. Don't pray where your heart is not. So when your heart is now has now joined you, you started by the Spirit, your heart joined you, then yeah, you can have a good ride. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are you being blessed?
Yes, sir.
Now let's quickly look at help needed in the place of prayers. There are two scriptures we'll look at, Proverbs and Romans. Proverbs chapter 20. And I'll quickly say this. This place of help is a lot of things. We can say a lot of things here. But just hear the little that we can say here and hold on to it. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Jumoke, can you guys move faster? Is it possible? Are you promising? Thank you. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. So there is a weakness. Can you say there is a weakness?
There is a weakness.
So none of us is a prayer nyampion.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our quiet people will say nyampion. None of us. Can you say I am not a prayer yampion? Yeah, I hope there's no quiet one person there. You're waiting for me outside. A man in the Lord. For we do not know what we should pray. And that's a fact. We do not know. Now, there's a reason why that statement is. Now, Proverbs 20. We'll come back here. Go to Proverbs 20, I think 26. Or 27. 20, 27. 27. So this says, the spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord. The spirit of man or of a man is what? So there's a difference between this spirit and the spirit of God. So the spirit of God is Ruach. That's Ruach Elohim. The spirit of God. Now, but this one is not the spirit of God. Now, if you wanted to look at Pastor Kenneth's favorite teaching, the soul, the spirit, or the spirit is soul, you know, man is a tripartite, what being, he has spirit. If you want to hear that message, just come to Teen's Church. You hear that message. That's what I say, is his favorite, is the S part. in that teaching. You will hear it there. Now, that spirit is the spirit of a man. But the Holy Spirit that we received, or that was received at Pentecost, what we call the Holy Ghost, is the spirit of God. Hallelujah. Amen. So, the one helping our weakness is the spirit of God. But in us is also the regenerated spirit. Now, both of them, they have their respective places. Now, the one that powers your inner weakness is the spirit of a man. Glory to God.
Yes.
I said this, there's no teaching here. Now, go back to Romans. Romans 8, 26. So it says, we don't know. Likewise, the spirit also helps. So this spirit, I think a simple way to quickly know the difference. A simple way. That's the way me I quickly knew it. One is capital, one is small. It was later I found out that one is Ruach. The other one, I don't even know the name. I think Ruach. No, no. Let's leave that. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he's simply saying that we don't know what to pray. Now, the reason why you don't know what to pray is you don't know the will of God. Because we know the only way to pray right is to pray according to his will. Bible says that's the only way he would hear us. It says if we pray according to his will, we know he hears us. And if he hears us, he grants our petition. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So that will, so that we will not pray amiss, is what the Spirit is helping us with. Now it says with groanings that cannot be what? Uttered. Now you can say, oh, the groanings can either be I'm groaning in my understanding or I'm not groaning in my understanding. Let's leave that one. That's not... But this groaning could be speaking in tongues or praying in the Holy Ghost, like Jude said, Jude 20. It says praying in your what? Your most holy faith. Praying in the what? In the what? In the Holy Ghost. So here we need help. So whenever you need to pray, you need help from your spirit man, the inward man, and the Holy Spirit. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, in your spirit man contains information that has been downloaded by the Spirit of God. So, if I want to pray about my health, and even Holy Spirit has not given me anything, I can pray the information in my spirit man about that health. Because that is the will of God. For example, I know that in my spirit man that he wishes that above all things that I prosper and be in health. That information is not in my body.
Yes.
It's not in my soul. It's in my spirit. I mean the revelation of that word. I'm not saying the letter.
Yes.
The letter can be in your head. Then there are times where we don't actually know. There's no information in the spirit man. But the Holy Spirit that knows the things of God can help us to pray according to his will. Actually, the reason why we pray more in the Holy Ghost is because we don't know what to pray. I mean, we pray in other tongues. That's what I mean by praying in the Holy Ghost. So that's where we get help from. If you're a child of God and you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you will be stuck. You would only be able to pray the prayers that you can see. God, I'm going out. Help me, no accident. Your prayer will stop at a level. You can't pray what you can see. So it's not just that you won't know how to pray. You would only be able to just pray what you can see. So that's why we need help. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can you say, I will persist in the place of prayer? You know, we said today that, see, you have to learn persistence until the issue changes. You have to put what persistence. You have to pray. There is the prayer of faith, but there's also the prayer that will keep repeating until we see a change. Now, don't be okay when something has not, the issue is still there and you stop praying. Only stop praying because the issue has ceased. Now, at times, the tangible structure of the problem might still be there. I mean, the physical representation of the problem, but it might not be an issue again. Now, let's quickly look at let me quickly help someone here. Keep praying about an issue until it changes. Keep praying about an issue until it changes. But for example, if you have been, you're not getting, good vibes at work, keep praying about it. Don't say the work is meant to be bad. As long as you don't like it, keep praying about it. Anything that is not good for a child of God is probably God does not like it. So keep praying about it. God, change the heart of my boss. God, you can touch his heart. God, you can make this business work. It's going down the drain. You can bring it back alive. God, this person that is not yielding to God, you can change his heart. And it's not only mothers that should be doing this. No, it's the staying mother, the praying mother. No, it's for all of us. Father will not do prayer of faith. Mother will be doing intercessory prayer. No. So keep praying about an issue until it changes. Keep praying about an issue until you hear and know that God has spoken about that issue. If God has not spoken about it, keep praying about it. Because the reason you prayed is so that you can hear his response. Right? I don't know if anybody prays here to feel good. You know, the later part of Matthew 6 also used another reference of fasting. And let me tell you something. You can use our same teaching for prayer for that fasting. One, don't fast with insincerity. Two, fast and respond to God. Brokenness. Three, fast in truth. Four, fast by faith. Can you give God all the praise? Don't fast. I am watching season 1 to 7. I wanted to fast. There was something that happened last week. So I wanted to have a fast. And then I said, the spirit is willing. The flesh is weak. Let me help my... Because one person was cooking one beans in the house. It's not in me. It's so funny. It's the stone that the builders rejected that was cooking these beans. Meaning the person you least expect. He was smelling. I was like, Talon down relay will bind lay. I told my wife, me fast. She made me move with Jolua. Me fast. I'm serious. I said I'm not fasting. So I said, serve me the beans and bread. And he served it so well. He served the bread, then, put water, then I took it to my office. So before they brought the food, I was trying to clear my refrigerator. So I brought out, I think the light has not been good. So I brought out, there were some things in the refrigerator. So I brought out a yogurt. And so the yogurt was already bad. So my naivety, I still wanted to be sure that it was really bad, even though I saw that it's bad. But I'm not really sure when something is bad. If you serve me something that is bad, I might eat it. That's the problem. If you say that's the taste, I will just admit that that's the way it tastes. Yeah. So I smelt it, and then I said, it's bad. So I took it out, then I closed the refrigerator, and I told them that they should wash the refrigerator. I now sat down with my bread and beans. I took the first base. I took the first base with some bread and I started nauseating. I could not eat the bread and beans. I said, along with the mumio. So I now went. I was so ashamed because I've declared. I was not saying, James, you didn't make me fast today. But do you know what? I didn't eat that day. Because they tampered with my appetite. You get. Why did I say that, Seth? Yeah. So we can use the same protocol for fasting. We fast because there's a truth to uphold and we focus on it. Either you're reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, listening to messages. Glory to God. So you also quit praying about an issue that was a result of your disobedience, but you still love the act of disobedience. Don't pray about something that happened because of an act of disobedience, and you still love that disobedience. Don't keep praying. Yeah, don't keep praying about a thing that happened because of an act of, for example, if the kankawum divorce your pocket, your money, because of an act of disobedience. Now, if you still love that act of disobedience, maybe it's changing check, adding zeros to the back of check from 1,000 to 10,000. Do you get? Now, if you are praying that kankawum will go, kankawum will not go. Did you understand what I'm saying? So quit praying about an issue. That's actually also what we do. When we say, which way do you want to go? I want to go the way of hell. Then, yeah. We say, Asala. Then also, quit praying about an issue. You are not doing what the word of God says about it. Either the written word of God or the spoken word of God through his mediums. Quit praying about something you are not doing the word of God about it. The word of God said, do this. Abstain from this. For example, imagine, you know, you always feel lost. And the source of the lust, you're always putting yourself consistently in front of it. And you're saying, God, take this lust away. Take this. No, the lust is building castle. So quit praying about lust. Quit it. Anything you are not obeying the word of God on, quit praying about it. Because you want to mock God, and God cannot be mocked. It says, whatsoever a man sows, he will reap. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, I'll wrap up by reminding us of one thing I said the first week, that everything has a melting point.
Yeah.
Once you put it under the right temperature, it will melt. You know, and the Lord reminded me of an incident, and I was really, that was the reason why I was dancing like someone that has drank early morning wine. You know, there was this brother so many years ago. He had epilepsy. And, you know, and because he would usually have public seizures, it is usually shameful. And, you know, yeah, typically there's a stigma, there's many troubles around that. But one of the things we did was to accommodate him in our space. And then, anytime I saw him or my heart went to him, I would always pray for him. There wasn't a particular day. I went to, you know, because at times, you need another brother. So I literally took him to another person that I knew this one is an aching boy. When they say aching boy, this one is an aching boy. He's an aching boy. I mean, it's a jagging. So I said, see, if this power no work, more carry you go the school of faith. I want the faith. So I took him to the brother and I said, I have a petition that I'm trusting this guy to be healed. I mean, the epilepsy could be so bad, it would be on the floor. You know, I saw another incident like that recently. It touched me. You know, it would be on the floor. And it was a community where people don't send. People can just be walking past and nobody would help. Because a lot of people also don't understand it. You know, people think it's transmittable. Do you get? And so there was even a particular day we did service. And then it happened in the service. I held him. I held him like this. I said, hey, God, take this thing away. See, there's power in persistent prayer. So. See, it says, sorrow may endure for a night. But joy does what? It comes in the morning. And whenever that joy comes, don't expect it to go.
Yes.
The next night will still be joy.
Yes.
So I held him. I prayed. After the service, I went back to my room. Then devil now started whining me. Say, your body that is crushing you now. Do you know why? Do you know why your body is crushing you? You are not the poor epilepsy. No, I'm serious. It was tormenting me, seriously. Because I also didn't have information. I didn't know about it. You know, it's what I've heard people say. I didn't research it, you know. So you too, you would have caught epilepsy. See the way you are. See your body itching you like this, you know. And you know, devil is a bastard. Yeah. So we continued. You know, there was a day, probably like 2 years after the first 5 years. So we were probably together for like 5 years that we're doing this engagement, seeing him almost every like 2 times a week or 3 times a week. And then I saw a call. I didn't have his number. He said, "Pastor Laulu, do you know something? I don't have epilepsy again." Me, immediately I said, "God." This was like about 2 or 3 years after, maybe, you know, for me, I even felt that was our turn. At times, I was like, you know, devil will tell you, it should have been somewhere else. Maybe some people else will be catering for him, and that's their own prayer point. But we did all we could. Now, the thing is, we don't know how many prayer points God gathered. That's not relevant. See, that call was everything. He says, "Do you know what now? I am no longer epileptic." See, the person that is epileptic before knows that he's not epileptic again. No? Yes. Either you're not sure when God has healed you. I'm not sure. My appetite is not there. He's there. No, the one that is having seizures before knows when he's no longer having it. So prayer works. Yes. Stay there. If it's not changing, stay there. Until you hear the word of God, stay there. Stay there. Be persistent. Be persistent in the... See, Anna kept coming back to Shiloh. She kept coming back. Stay there. You are not doing vain repetition. No. You are repeating the will of God. This thing is not meant to be there. You are repeating it. It's not meant to be there. And it will not be there again. Stay. I'm grateful for him. And I'm also grateful for every healings that is happening here today. I'm grateful for every healings that is happening here now. He's the one that does what no man can do. Can we just pray in the Holy Ghost? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray like someone that is charged. Pray like someone that is cheered up. Pray like someone that has a sword of victory. The word of the Lord is in your mouth. Declare it. Declare it. Declare the word of God in your mouth. Elimi suku manamantas. Ori beketenemesti. Urabababadiga. Anto. Imenanta. Elisto bokombali kambaduata shaya. What is broken can be fixed again. What the devil has stolen can be restored. The life that is miserable can be all again. The crooked path you have set yourself on, you can be restored. You can be restored. You can be restored. Pray. Can you stand it? The joy that is gone can be restored. The hope that is lost can be restored. The healing that is yet to come can come now. You are more than this. You are more than able. You are more than able. You are more than a conqueror. You are more. You are more. You are more. You are more. The things in your hand will not die. Nothing will be a reproach. Nothing will be a reproach. Everything that the Father has not planted,
They are removed. Removed. Five blood and the body. They are removed. Sicknesses in the mind. They are removed. Long-standing sicknesses. They are removed. Oriba, orite, munga baladiste. Of the Lord. Yes.
Iya pokoto, in your bakada, in your papa, in your nombro kotopolohunas, aswadaye, aswadaye neboluat, asopopopopokodo prediegato, ashia bokotopologodo, omandie pregete delegete, arruata baka papa papa papa, ashine molomondie lebede, ilemedo, in your papa, in your mama, in your papa, I am rogodopolot, asotoko, asokodogodo, asokodopogodopogodo.
In Jesus' mighty name have we prayed. Can you give me volume, please, so that I don't? Can we all stretch for our hands? As if we want to receive. As if you want to receive. Receive. And just, you know, everything God has brought to your heart, to your remembrance as we prayed. You know, we are stretching our hands to receive answered prayers.
Yes, Lord.
That the word of God would perform itself.
Amen.
Not a jot, because not a jot of what he has said to you would go unfulfilled. And with reverence in our heart, knowing that we've come to him who is able to do exceedingly far above what we can ask, we receive. 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 We receive everything. Nothing left. We receive everything. 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 Everything. Nothing is broken anymore. We receive everything. We receive. We receive. We receive. We receive. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're grateful. We thank you for what you have done. And we know you have done what is even beyond our expectations. We know that the profiting of this would appear to all men. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. We believe, therefore we speak, that all that we have received, we would increase in the order of this fruitfulness.
Yeah.
None of us is coming back to the same spot.
Yeah.
We have been lifted and we will not know a downturn.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father. Give you all the praise, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We give you all the thanks. In Jesus' mighty name, have we prayed.
Amen.